The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason, these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, today we're going to talk about prophets and punctuation. Anybody know what this punctuation form is? It is indeed a semicolon. Semicolons are probably the least understood and the least used punctuation marks. We could probably eliminate semicolons from the keyboard, and 90% of the people wouldn't even notice until we went to wink at someone when we're writing. Okay, so today I want to talk about semicolons in a more serious way, and I do want you to notice. How many of you have heard of Project Semicolon? Anybody? A few people have. Good. Just this morning. Excellent. Good. Project Semicolon, according to their website, is a faith-based nonprofit movement that's dedicated to presenting hope and love to those who are struggling with depression, suicide, addiction, and self-injury. Project Semicolon is a global campaign that was launched in 2013 by Amy Bluell, which was 10 years after her father committed suicide. Amy stated, I started it to honor my father and to tell my story of my struggle with mental illness. I wanted my story to inspire others to tell their story. I wanted to start a conversation that couldn't be stopped. Conversation about mental illness and suicide so we can address it and lower these rates. And her mantra, her motto is, stay strong, semicolon, love endlessly, semicolon, change lives. So what is a semicolon and why a semicolon? She says the semicolon is intended to encourage people to keep going in life. And how? One little punctuation mark. She says a semicolon is used when an author could have chosen to end their sentence, but chose not to. She says the author is you, and the sentence is your life. So let me say that again. She says, a semicolon is used when an author could have chosen to end their sentence, but chose not to. The author is you, and the sentence is your life. So part of what Project Semicolon does is it encourages people to draw or tattoo semicolons on their body, and then as a way to represent and support those who are dealing with mental illness or the loss of someone from suicide. It's a reminder, and many people, I saw one that was transformed into a butterfly, some that were in flowers, one that was kind of shaped into a cross. But it's a reminder that whatever you're going through right now is not the end of the story. The conversation that Amy Buell started took off, and it continues today with people all over the world taking pictures of their tattoos and drawings and posting them on social media with the hashtag Project Semicolon or Semicolon Project. Okay, so what do semicolons and prophets have to do with each other? Well, Project Semicolon is a powerful voice for those who feel vulnerable, hurt, or ashamed. Prophets are the ones who are called to speak out against anything that is not giving life, especially for those who are most vulnerable, those who are hurt, or those who feel as if they are being shamed by society. Both prophets and Project Semicolon remind us that how life is right now is not the end of the story. As I mentioned to the kids, John the Baptist's story is terrible. It was really hard for me to say, this is the gospel of the Lord, because it's a tragic, horrible story. King Herod, the king, is more concerned about being honorable than about doing what's right. You know, the long story short is King Herod took his brother's wife as his own. Herodias was mad, King Herod's wife. Herodias was mad because John called him on that and said, this isn't right. And she asked for him to be beheaded. King Herod was compliant and John was murdered. Yet we know, because we heard it today, that even his death did not silence his message. Because John's message was God's message. It was a message that pointed people to Christ. And people are still being pointed to Christ through his message. Where Herod and Herodias put a period, God put a semicolon. Amos was also a prophet. His story reminds us that God has a way of interrupting our stories. And that where we put periods, God sometimes puts semicolons. Amos didn't plan to be a prophet. He tended sheep and he grew figs. He probably had a very nice, pleasant life. But God called him to something new and different. God called him to share a vision because God saw the injustice among God's own people. And God called Amos to tell them how things really were and how things were supposed to be. And what would happen if they didn't repent from their wrongdoing? Israel was at the height of its power. They were prosperous and self-sufficient. They didn't realize that in the process, they were also becoming very self-destructive. They began worshiping idols and not only neglecting the poor, but taking advantage of them. Some people had little to eat and no place to live, while others had plenty. The excess that the rich had was at the expense of the poor. The poor were vulnerable and had no voice. Many of them carried huge debts, debts so huge that they couldn't repay them in their whole lifetime. Their children couldn't repay them in their lifetime. Even the grandchildren that they didn't even have yet couldn't repay those debts in their lifetime. People were being sold into slavery, whole families. So Amos was called to speak God's word of judgment upon the greed and the lack of justice. People hardly ever listen to prophets. We don't want to. Why would we? Life was pretty good for those rich people. Period. Exclamation point. Two exclamation points. Well, where the people put that exclamation point, God put a semicolon. We all know this. We all know that this great difference where people are being taken advantage of and being vulnerable cannot ever be the end of God's story. Because God is a God of life, a God of justice, a God of hope. God is a God of hope because God's word is a living word, a word that is alive. And for it to be heard in the world, God's word needs people to live it out. People who seek justice, who seek justice for all people. People like Amos, people like John the Baptist, people like Amy Bluell, people like you and me. We are all part of God's story here on this earth. We are all part of God's love story with creation. We can't let anything stop us, especially ourselves. That's why where we put a period and say things like, oh, I can't do that, I'm not smart enough, or I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I'm too busy, or I can't do that because I'm too comfortable, I'm too afraid, or that's impossible. Because of whatever reason we can think of, where we put a period, like God did for Amos, for John the Baptist, for Amy, and for all the prophets, God makes that period into a semicolon and reminds us, your story isn't done yet, because I'm not done with you. I'm never done with you, God says. I'm not done with this whole world. I am with you, and I love you. I have called you to more. I've always called you to more. Justice, to peace, to life in all its fullness for all people. I've called you to stay strong together, to love endlessly, and to change lives. Thanks be to God for this. These are words of grace. God is not through with us yet. They are words of hope, words of promise. And today, right here, right now, God's story continues to be lived out through ordinary people like you and like me. To help you remember this, I have something for you. There's enough for all of you to take at least one of these. Let's start here and pass them around. They are semicolons. You can stick it on your fridge, put it in your wallet, put it in a desk drawer, in your cup holder in your car, stick it on your forehead, whatever you need to do to remember that as people of faith, we are indeed semicolon people. We know that no matter what is going on around us or within us, that God's story of hope and love and peace and justice is still being written. And we are an important part of that.